So today I have Kendra Gardner with me. Kendra, you are a feng shui specialist and you provide recommendations about how to, you know, improve our living spaces. You also have a background of architecture and you will be able to share a little bit about that. You are providing custom-based recommendation. We can send you, you know, photo and video of a room, and you will put your intuitive and psychic skills in order to, you know, see what our subconscious and unconscious sometimes is hiding and where there are energy blocks. And that way we can really let more energy, more good energy enter our life. I think you are a hard worker, just as I am. And you have high standard for achievement and your work is empowering. I've been, you know, experiencing it. We've been collaborating different times and it's been really supportive. So I'd like to start maybe with getting to know you a little bit, you know, your journey until here. Maybe we can start with your upbringing and then you can lead us, you know, to... maybe when you started to study or to become an expert at feng shui. So what was it like for you to grow up you know, in this reality that sometimes can be complex to navigate?
Yeah, yes, it is kind of an interesting kind of game. Well, thankfully my mom is very open and very intuitive, so it is nice that that was kind of the base I had. So she was definitely open. And she was very creative in the things she did, because actually what kind of got me into architecture is, you know, she had magazines like Better Homes and Gardens, because she loved to sew, to cook, like different creative things. And I just looked at the housing. I'm like, that's kind of cool, because I thought I wanted to be an artist, but I was good in math and science. Everybody tells you engineering. And I'm like, no, I like designing. And then I landed in architecture. So, but having my mom, she was always kind of supportive, like whatever you think it is, and just the whole art, the exploration, that kind of stuff was always definitely led me to a space like doing meditation, growing up kind of being open to those kind of things. So I probably was a lot more open to stuff like that than you'd expect. And then while I was in school studying architecture, I met this woman who was a shaman. And she was the one who actually introduced me to architecture, because she was talking about it. Well, I mean, not architecture, the feng shui. So she just had a feng shui consultation, thought it was wonderful, and was like, well, you're an architect. This seems like it's, you know, hand in glove. You should be studying this. And I was like, okay, never heard of it then. And the more it actually like based a school project on it. And I was like, this is kind of interesting. It connected a lot of the stuff that I'd learned growing up with, you know, just the idea of intention and just how you looked at spaces and stuff. So it made sense architecturally. It kind of made sense spiritually. So I think that's why I easily kind of gravitated toward it and kind of saw the benefits and bonuses of diving into it more. So, you know, that was my first little taste in college. I thought it was kind of neat and was learning little things about it. And then because I did that project in school, I had it in my portfolio when I was looking for a job when I graduated. And I ironically interviewed at a firm where on their letterhead, it actually said architecture, interior design, and feng shui. So that's where I ended up working when I first graduated from school. And they were really wonderful in like just being able to get on the right path, because the woman who actually created the firm had gone to China, was amazed by how the balance of the space and how things work together, that she was really interested in it, wanted all the designers that worked at her firm to know about it. And she actually supported it. Like she would pay for your education on it. She'd pay so you could learn more. They were really good in like letting me get more classes. The CFO and the executive VP were feng shui practitioners. We had a feng shui group. It was very much helped nurture me. Who would have guessed that's where you ended up as your first job? It's a place that you get your feng shui mentor. I could take a day off and go to a workshop, because they were very good at supporting it. It wasn't like frowned upon that this was my activity. It was actually great to sometimes sneak it into projects, because it's kind of, once you know what you know, you kind of can't not know. So like I'd have some clients that didn't necessarily pay for the full-on feng shui consultation, but if I made some dramatic, you know, architectural design that was a cut that I know energetically would be kind of weird, I would find feng shui ways design-wise to kind of fix it. So that's how I was playing with it. or I'd always kind of be mindful of when I would set up the spaces. So it was always in the back of my mind, because a lot of ways, feng shui is good design, but there's other things that you can use or tools you can take from feng shui to kind of make it better or to make a bold move and make sure the energy isn't too intense because you did something very bold. So that was kind of a fun experimental way of starting. And then I just kept, you know, as saying, being a practitioner, I just kept practicing, kept doing it, kept studying, kept learning, and it just evolved and evolved until where it is now.
So maybe what it is, maybe could you give us your definition of what feng shui is, and you know, how can it support us to you know, rise the frequency of our space, and also maybe reflect on some of the blocks that we have maybe embedded in us.
Oh goodness, I'd love to. Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts about feng shui. So feng shui, the simple definition is, you know, feng shui is the art of placement. And it's the understanding of how people, their environment, and the subtle energies of the universe kind of can work together. So you can go in a very lofty way of putting it, or you can go very simple. It's like, we have subconsciously put things here. We subconsciously notice stuff. There's a whole lot of stuff we notice in our environment that affect us. And like, if you actually can understand that and see how your space is such a reflection of you, which it really is, you can kind of understand how playing with it, manipulating it, can do so much for people. So one of the reasons I love it is you can kind of make your home a huge vision board. Like, you have the opportunity to actually make you better by making your space better. Like, it actually all works together. And it's, your home is a reflection of you. So if you have an area that you're having trouble with, that you're not really working on some subconscious level, your home reflects it too. And, you know, it's always interesting if you're doing really well in there, on subconscious level, that part of your home always looks grand. It's kind of this interesting dialogue that our spaces actually reflect us so much and what's going on with us. And it might do it so well because we're not as conscious of it. Like, you know, you're well aware of how you stand, how you sit, fix your face, but you don't think about my desk as a reflection. Like, we know you're busy because your desk is, you know, has a lot of stuff on it, but did you realize that because you keep putting this in that corner, you keep putting that there, that's reflecting also what's going on with you? Because it's so much more to it. So that's the thing that's kind of fun with feng shui. It's a way that you can, as I said, it's a vision board. You can kind of take it to the next level and help your space push you where you want to go. And sometimes you can kind of see where you're struggling because you can't, it's almost like you energetically don't match it. Like, you can't put this here because you're not ready for it yet. And I've always found it interesting when I have a client, like, they'll call me and I'm like, you need to put that there. And like, I can't, I don't understand. Like, no. I'm like, oh, that, you're not ready for that yet. So you need to work on some stuff so you can handle this being there. You know, it's kind of like someone saying, I'm not ready to wear red, because in their mind, wearing red is too bold, too this, but they don't get that's what the problem is. They're just like, I don't like red. And why are you fighting this color? It's like, no, there's more than just the color. It's what it signifies, what it means to you. And so it's really interesting how much your space reflects all those little internal dialogues and what's going on with you, and how much, like, on conscious and subconscious levels, your home is really working with you and what's going on with your life. So that's how I feel like it's really a great tool to kind of push yourself. Because sometimes, even as a feng shui practitioner, I need someone to come tell me what I'm missing, because we all have blind spots and you don't see it. So like, I've had a friend come in like, why is that there? Oh yeah, you're right. Okay. Yes. That's a weak spot for me. You're right. And so you just don't realize how much is going on or how much is really being reflected. And it's nice to have someone come in and kind of help you, push you, get things where you want to. Like, you can't figure out this is going on, and then your space will happen and you're like, Oh, is that what that's saying? Okay. All right. So it's a step to help getting things moving, which is really wonderful.
Yes, because of course, maybe, you know, maybe in the past we've read feng shui books, or we got interested like I did. And it's true that at that time I modified, you know, the desk to a command position. I think I started with the desk more than the bed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another story to review a whole room, right?
Yes.
Because you're so used to it, as you were saying, there are details that you don't really see. You know, it's like you're so used to them, you don't even think about, like, You know, you don't even think about all the details that are in a room and all these specific choice. And when you review a room, you actually go over a lot of different details. And, you know, you, well, we worked together on one of my room, right? It was a bedroom office. So it was like a, for each room also, you can adapt to the use that is made from the room, etc. And you know, I sent you photos and even a video and even a map, right? And then we discussed it, and you came up with a lot of different suggestions. You actually made a whole folder with suggestion I can go back to that are kind of illustrated. And you also assisted me in, you know, becoming more conscious of some things that were in certain places and that maybe I would like to change them, right?
Right.
And I remember that right after our call, first I was really activated by the call. You know how you can feel activated and high energy, and you get up from your chair and it's time to change things now, like plans. You know, we had discussed plans. I started to move different things, and once you start to move one, you quickly end up moving different things because you have to find spot for everything. So I think I was doing that for the 90 minutes just after the call. And then you need more days also to unfold because you might need to buy new furniture, to choose them, to change things, to make a budget for that as well. So it's really an experience, one room at the time, right? And it's really powerful. So I wanted to open the space for you maybe to talk about that, you know, how it is when you review the room for somebody.
Oh, yes. No, I do love it. Cause there are some things you can always do by yourself. And I know a lot of the books are confusing because there's different schools of feng shui. And so, like, you know, some people do compass school, some are more elemental and all this other stuff. So people get lost and you're trying to figure it out on your own. So one of the things that I like about doing it, even when you, especially like doing the small one room, when you just do a deep dive, and then you can really see a lot of things that you don't really notice are there. Like I was saying, there's like subconsciously, oh, is that what that's saying? Subconsciously, is this what that's saying? Like, you know, like some people put their bed in very interesting corners and you're like, why do you have your bed that you can't get into it? That's kind of interesting. Or why is your cat's litter box in your bedroom? And ironically, why is your cat's litter box in the romance corner? That's saying a lot more than just, you know, I love my cat. Like, you're saying something about all sorts of stuff on a lot of subconscious levels. So that's been, it's interesting when you hear people come in like, I don't know why, I just have, all my relationships are really crappy. And I'm like, well, you're kind of helping manifest that by putting a big toilet basically in the romance corner. So doing this stuff is kind of neat. And like, sometimes when you say stuff, people are like, oh, that's what this is saying. And we can quickly like make changes, or they don't realize some stuff that's there that they never liked, they didn't really care about. You just kind of get lost in your own stuff. Like a lot of times it just helps people kind of like fresh eyes. I don't even like that. Why that is that in my space? Like, why are you keeping things that don't bring you joy? And I'm not meaning like everything's going to be over joyful and you're just like, oh, this is singing every time you skip in the room. But it should be most stuff that you do enjoy or you do like, because those are just little things that kind of bring you down, let alone things that actually energetically bring you down. Because if you do stuff like kinesiology and stuff, you can muscle test and tell, like, you sitting in that position actually is energetically draining you. Like, you are having something come at you energetically all the time. And if I muscle test you and move you 2 feet over and muscle test you, you are actually physically stronger. So let's remove stuff. So there's a lot of little things that you don't really get until someone's looking at it going, you know, that's doing this. Do you know that's doing that? Do you know this is all very chaotic space you chose to help kind of people deal with their spaces. And a lot of time, especially if you're going through some stuff, there's going to be so much more that your space is reflecting that you might need to purge. So like, I'm so happy you're, you know, invigorated when you get started. And it's awesome because there's this feng shui rule, which is really kind of fun. You move 27 things, you have totally changed the energy of your space. So if you go in your room right now and move 27 major things, even if they stay there, but just move it, you've totally changed the energy again. And it's kind of nice, just that type of movement, like the placement and the movement actually is activating. and changing it. So doing these consults with people, it's so interesting just to have their response and how like they didn't realize. I always thought that was kind of heavy, but really that is actually energetically heavy. It's like, yes, okay, I'm moving that. I'm gonna take it. Oh, I can relocate that. So it is, I mean, it's really rewarding to see how much it is, because some things I just know and feel, and other things, it's just interesting to see the synergy of working with somebody and how it changes their space and their life and their just energy of the whole thing.
Yes. You. It's true that you quickly it becomes a new space, and you have to, you have to get used to like how the new things are, and then after maybe a week, you're kind of used to it, right? But for well, for in my case, I moved a big plant, right? So you kind of need to get used to not having this big plant there, and maybe that's also something we can talk about because you also do. The 9-star key analysis, right? And we also worked on that, and there you told me that I was earth element, right? And I needed to avoid wood. So we often love plants, when we are the beings that we are, and that was my case, and I've accumulated so many plants for probably a decade now. Starting in a flat in the past, and knowing that changed a little bit. That I already had this sensation that yeah, I'm not there is not so much space for more plants, and but it's kind of confirmed maybe, and also it's important to take care of your plants, right? And maybe it's good. It's sometimes it's you get the dopamine to get the new plants, but are you taking care of your old plants? And all of that is in the game. So you do the 9-star key analysis. So what does it consist? What is it?
So depending on what school you study, you kind of learn use astrology different. So if you do the Northern School, the Flying Star, they use more traditional Chinese astrology, versus 9-star key astrology actually is Japanese in origin, but it deals a lot with the elements, and it's called astrology, and it is astrology, but it's not so much based on like the stars and the planets. It's actually based more on time, which is kind of an interesting way of thinking how you do with astrology and this cycle of nine and how things repeat and like what the energy of this cycle goes on to and begins to. So you can do a full-on deep dive just in figuring out the astrology of what the energy of the year is. So like, for example, this year is a very interesting year. It's a very dynamic year, and it's actually based on chaos, so that's kind of fun. So that's the energy of the year, but it's also an element, which is earth, and some people have this different element. So the thing that's fun about it, there's according to feng shui, there's five elements, and once you know your element, you can start playing this way of balancing it. And so like, for example, you're an earth, so then you think about what nourishes earth, what depletes earth. Or if you're a wood, what nourishes wood, what depletes wood, or fire, what nourishes. And then the next thing, which is where I start having fun, because not everybody goes and plays with it, but like when you find out a person's element, after you do like the basics, so like it's a bedroom, for example, with you, like it was a bedroom. So there's certain things we think about for the bedroom. Obviously, usually there's a bed, thus it's a bedroom. So you think about the bedroom place, the bed placement is in the. But then the thing is kind of neat. So now I know your element. So now I can add another layer to the design where I think about, okay, so I know, for example, say somebody is a wood. I know this person's a wood, and what nourishes wood would be, earth and water. What depletes wood would be fire. So now I'm going to start thinking about. Or and I also wouldn't want to do metal. So I'm not going to choose a metal frame bed because this person's wood. They might like something that's made out of wood as for a bed as opposed for a metal bed. Like there's these little things that they're also there that affect you. So wood people like water. So maybe I'll think of adding blue as the color of the room as opposed to red, because red fire, burns wood, it would be depleting. So you start playing with this and seeing how it goes. I mean, balance is balance, so you don't have to avoid balance. Balance is great, but if you know what your element is and you can add what nourishes it, then you can make a space even more nourishing for that person, or you can make sure the space isn't as draining for that person. And I love playing with that. And then the other beauty thing of 9-star key astrology. So that's the fun part I do with the elements, but like there's stuff about you too. So we go through these cycles And each year is a different year, is a different kind of theme or lesson. So there's a year where it's much more tranquil, it's much more quiet, and it's about you figuring out what you want to do for the next 9 years. Like what's going to be our lesson? What would I want to achieve? And then it slowly moves into, okay, it's time to take that seed and plant it. So now it's like, okay, if I'm going to go back to school, I start thinking about where I want to go, what am I going to study? And then the next year is like, continual growth. And then you have the year where it's a harvest year where you get to like reap what you've sown for the last 5 years. Isn't that great? And then you have like, you keep upcycling. Like you have another year where you just kind of have a quiet year where you get reflective and it's like the calm before the storm. And then you have the year where it's all about you. You're celebrated, you achieve, your achievements are rewarded. And then you go right back and start that cycle again. And then like to know what year you're in sometimes is really, really helpful because some years are really slow and they're really quiet. And it's not going to be a good year to get stuff moving. Stuff happens, life happens, of course, but it's just not going to be a year where you're going to, things are going to fly. And for someone who's a very fiery or like a wood person who's used to movement, they hate those years. So at least you kind of know, okay, this is a year that's not going to be that much, so I need to be prepared. As opposed to some years, it's like you've got the Midas touch, like anything you touch just goes because you're in a year where it is rapid. It is rapid growth. Things just happen. You think it, poof, you can make it. Like, and those are awesome years to do other stuff. And it's kind of fun when you can kind of know that's where you are in the cycle. Like for me, the whole fact that I've picked up and moved, changed everything, I'm in a year of serious change. So of course it's going to be the year that I completely do a complete change. Change to a new country, change, all job, change everything. It's a year of change, and that's where I am, and I'm seeing it. Even if I wasn't planning it, which I wasn't, the year is like, no, we're doing it. And off we go. So it's fun, like to know this little bit of information and just helps you kind of navigate that that's what the year is going to be and kind of the chaos and what goes with it. And then when you know your element and you can make your space support it, it's the next level. So you can make your office a space that supports you. So you actually want to be there. Because if you're in a space that drains you, you're not going to want to stay there. And I've had people where they realized they were water and they were in the absolutely wrong environment. And I'm like, yes, of course you didn't like being there. So then they avoid it. They're not there. They just, you know what I mean? It's a whole weird game that you didn't realize because the space is beautiful. Everything's lovely, but it's not your element. And on some level, it's just, you just don't want to be in that, which is kind of neat. It's sometimes like amazing to watch how that is. You can see the person getting antsy, like you don't like this big red room. No. And then they're just like, let's go somewhere else. So.
Yeah, it makes sense for me also because you shared with me that, this year for me, for example, what is a year of fluctuation, right? And it was, right? It started with a big fluctuation and kind of losing like a stability or things like that. And then there are some ups as well. So it's been really interesting. And last year was rapid growth, right? So it was a really great year, with a lot of good things going on, right? So with and finding some stability also. So it's very interesting, and I think it helps to keep that in mind. And I think it also helps to go back to the folder, you sent, because it's like a 50-page folder. I already went back twice, right? So first, the first few days I read it once or twice, and then I went back to it. And but it's also layered, right? It might be difficult to integrate everything, all the changes all at once, right? It's really a process. And I think maybe the persons that are working with you are, you are taking us through a process as well, and it's a real process.
Yeah, it seems very simple because it is on many levels very simple in the sense of put this here, get that, do that. But you didn't realize how much shifting happens when you do move this, put that, clean this, put that there, how much it actually is changing stuff. So I totally, everybody's like, oh, this is easy. It's not a long list. I'm like, it's not a long list. But watch and see which ones you struggle with doing. Watch and see how, like, this one's easy. Okay, you're ready for that to happen. That one, it is kind of, it's very interesting to see how this, because it always seems, and I try to make it as, simple, give you options, because, everybody needs options. Like, I don't like that. I don't like, I don't know, I don't want flowers. I'd rather have this, or I don't, you know, whatever. It's like, find what is right for you. That's what matters. But it's definitely a process, and it's interesting.
Yeah, I think when talking with you, I always get new ideas, or yeah, I'm reminded. So I think you also open the space for these ideas to come or to be reminded of sometimes, you know, something that maybe we have taken a little bit of time to shift or to move, or that, you know, it was on your folder, but maybe it still didn't happen in my reality. And why is that, right? So you know, there are always kind of reasons, right, for the blockage, and probably it's often linked to some of our core belief. Would you say that?
Yeah, there's a lot of ties that you don't realize are connected to especially sentimental items, you know, like how much stuff is connected or tied to, or you think it should be this way, so you take it takes longer than you thought because there's so much you have to process. It's like, you know, people trying to clear their closet and you're like sitting there watching them go through it, and then they like look at it and they like try it on again, and oh, I remember when, and you just kind of see them get lost on it. And the closet clearing, which could take, if you did it fast, an hour at best, turns into like a 2-day adventure because half of it is reminiscing and oh, and yeah, it's always more to the process than you think. And then everybody talks about it. I got rid of all these bags of clothes. I feel like I lost all this weight. I'm like, yes, because you did. That is a lot of emotion, a lot of ties, a lot of stuff. You just finally got out of your space. So yes, you did lose some weight.
Right, because yes, when you give it away, or when you're breaking up with your things, you kind of it's true that you are letting these energies go out of your reality. They disappear. You are
Yes.
talking about the micro triggers, so it's part of that, but it's
Yes.
true that there is a lot of charges in our space, right?
Yes, definitely. Because that's what, like, we always talk about feng shui. I don't care what school you study under, they always, the first thing they talk about, clearing clutter. Because there's so much in our clutter that we don't realize. And it's really one of the big things that holds you back. Like, and clutter is not just like junk on the floor. Clutter is mind clutter. Clutter, it's like physical manifestation of procrastination. Like, it is more than just a couple of things around. It really does hold some hard, stagnant energy that is really doesn't let people move. And it's interesting, like, if you don't want to do stuff, you can see where the clutter builds up. And when you clear it, like, oh, it's easier now. But there's so many layers to the clutter and what it means to us. And there's so many things we just burden ourselves with that we don't realize that that's what it really is. And you don't realize how much your subconscious notices stuff. Like, having things around your house that make you feel bad or make you feel guilty or make you feel sad, every time you look at it, that's what we were talking about, those micro triggers. Every time you look at it, it is triggering that. You might not realize that that's what it's doing, because there's some big ones that you go that will do that. But like, it's constantly kind of like reminding you, you know, like if you don't like to bake and you have a rolling pin out of guilt, and every time you open your drawer, you see a rolling pin, you've just been paying with a little thing of guilt every time you see it. Because you might even say, ah, I really should do that. Like, you've already should yourself. You've already started in a bad place. Like, these little things, you don't need that. So get rid of the physical thing that can actually cause you a little trigger, cause you some drama and stress. It's really interesting how much of that stuff we keep, because we think of whatever, like, there was this thing in the States years ago that people thought it was going to be worth something someday. Those, like, it was a stuffed animal. I forget what they're called, but they're the Beanie Babies. I don't know if you had them anywhere else, but there was this whole thing, and like, the people would like collect them. I don't think 20 years later, I don't think they're worth anything. But it was this whole entire thing about, so you bought all these stuffed animals you don't like or you kind of liked, and you kept them and hoping it was an investment. Did that really serve or make you? You know, it's like, let some stuff go. Let the stuff go. I mean, if it brings you joy, then yes. But if you know, there's so many little things like that.
Yeah, that's something that you talk about in your book also, and I find the guilt a good example, because we know how much of a low frequency it is, and we know how much of an uncomfortable feeling, and just it's just uncomfortable, and so in really not a state we like to stay in. But when it's really subtle thing that just lasts you know, maybe a few seconds, or you know, and then you kind of process it, but it still has an influence. And I remember that after our call, you know, for when you were reviewing you know, the advices that you had for my room, I think in the next days I took out a photo that I had by obligation, in case the person that was on the photo, someone from my family, was visiting the house, but it was not my choice, right? And then you can be caught up into a certain type of loyalty, but it's, you know, but if it was, you know, it's your house, it's your space, that person doesn't live there. So why are you having this photo, right? So I think I moved it in the next few days. So it's, again, that shows the activation that comes also from working with you. And I also, you know, we talked about the wardrobe, and I had a big massive wardrobe. It was a beautiful object bought by my mother, but it was massive, right? It's like this big thing. So I had an open one, and that was, you know, I was thinking about it, but it got activated after, and I it's maybe it would be something that I would have postponed again for weeks and weeks and weeks, but there I, you know, ordered a new one, sold the old one on the marketplace, which is always an interesting experience, and you know, it moves, right? And when I'm talking with you this time, I also have new ideas on how to embellish the space, right? Because we get so used to what's around us that sometimes we don't think about, okay, what's the next level, right?
Yeah.
How could it be more me, right? Maybe that, you know, maybe that piece of furniture, it comes from the past or from my family, and I didn't really choose it. I wouldn't definitely choose it now, or, you know, I want something more minimalistic maybe, or it could be more me, it could be, you know, it
yes.
could be more refined or things like that. And I think when we talk with you, we all get these ideas, or, you know, and just these details, just to also focus the attention on it, and actually see it maybe through your eyes. You allow us also to see our own space with new eyes, right? It's like a new way to see it, and it's very refreshing.
Yeah. It's like, it's putting that energy into it is very interesting. You didn't realize, you just forget stuff. So many things fall to the background. It's just there. That it's kind of interesting when you put your eye back on it, like, wait, why is this here? I loved it 5 years ago. I don't like this now. Or, you know, like, you forget we evolve. Why isn't our space evolving with us? And, you know, take this time to celebrate that and do that.
Yes, it makes me think, you know, I had this statue inherited from my mother. It was like a statue, a black statue from a little girl. And she also had like a sort of painting with a doll. And I was not questioning what it was representing. It was just, you know, an object for my mom, right? It was my mom thing, right? So, but when you actually look at what it is and what it means and how sad it can be, maybe you don't want it in your space again. And, you know, especially knowing about the project and what the unconscious can reflect, that maybe she wasn't also fully aware of. So it's really interesting to move these things out, right? And it surely refreshed the space we are in.
Yes, I actually had a person come in. They're like, they were complaining about how, you know, they moved in, they got married, they moved in with their spouse, and the whole thing was just like, I feel so alone here, because they're both in opera. Her husband's a director, she's an opera singer. So, you know, they're very interesting. They're traveling all over Europe doing, you know, operas here, there, and everywhere. So when she's in the space, she's very aware that it was, you know, his first. So there's his stuff here, his stuff there. And she's like, okay, can we do stuff? So respecting him, but I want to bring me in. And she was talking about how she just felt really alone and really, you know, just abandoned. And like when she's here in the city in Florence, it's just, she feels very disconnected. And then I'm looking at the art that's in the place, and it's all these sad single women all over the place. And I'm like, do you realize your art reflects what you don't want? And she's like, wait, what? It's beautiful. There are these beautiful paintings. I think she had two of these paintings that were beautiful. And she's like, oh God. Like, I'm like, it literally is what you're complaining about, is what I'm seeing hanging on your wall. It's like you're celebrating this. She's like, no. So immediately it was like, while I'm still there, immediately took it off the wall, put it out to like give away. It's just like, oh, it's like, so it's like you've actually brought stuff in here to reinforce what you don't want. Like, you, it's fascinating how you will see that sometimes. And sometimes it's what people really want. Like, I sometimes, you know, you're happy to be alone and you have all these awesome single man or single woman images because that's where you are and you're like celebrating it. And then when you want it to change, you kind of forgot that you've made a shrine in your home celebrating this person, and you might not be that anymore. And it's time to maybe not have 10, maybe it's one or two that are touching, but it's interesting how much your space can do that, or you are attracted to stuff because it is reflecting something you like. I'm sure when she first saw that painting, she related to it and thus was called to it, but you don't want it in your house constantly reaffirming that. So, yeah, it's very interesting what we have in our homes.
Yes, definitely we I think also with the mind wiping drugs, we definitely need sometimes a new gaze, in our spaces. And it's very interesting also the contrast you make with like maybe it was your choice, but maybe it's not your choice anymore. And in the meantime, you have forgotten because you forget to look around with a new eye, right? I think we need that that third party sometimes that is interested in us elevating and has our best interest at heart and can come and see. And when I'm in the space with you, I always feel this ability active, right? It's like a new ability to see your own space. So for your own space, so it's
Right.
very nice to do that and very useful because we cannot do, it's nice to be able to bounce with other who have their expertise in different areas. And because reviewing not only one room but all the rooms of our
Yeah.
houses can be also overwhelming. Already reviewing one furniture sometimes can be overwhelming, as you shared. So having the patience to go through every object, and there are things that we are missing, there are things that are hiding right in the subconscious, in the unconscious. And only when you have studied feng shui as you did, plus all your knowledge and your intuition, so you can really quickly see where is the block and what it is saying that this person is your client is not really aware of. So all of that is, I think, very important for the space we are living in.
Yeah, it's interesting how much, yeah, how much there really is going on.
And you were mentioning, the decluttering process, which I think is important. We need to let go of the old us and sometimes also, objects from families or, there is a lot. And I heard you say, your mess does not bother you, right? So, and you clutter your space for a reason as well.
Yes.
And you also mentioned the subtle dynamics that can be hiding behind, with us, like keeping certain object out of guilt, out of fear. We had a lot of fear, survival programming the last few years, right? So
Yes.
you make different choice when you're with a fear mindset, right? You also focus your budget in a different way. You would do it differently if you were not feeling afraid. So that's also something that you talk about in your book. And I like that quote, right? Your mess does not bother you. And that's true. You don't even see it, maybe.
No, it totally disappears. It totally disappears. And there's a difference between two, like, because I have a friend who's an artist, and you've seen artist studios. It does look like it's like chaos, but it's like functional chaos. You know, when you get started, you kind of like, everything's everywhere because that's how you find the paint fast, or you find this color because it's, you got to dig through a box that takes too long when you're in the middle of the project. So there is like this organized chaos or clutter. I get that. And it's a different dynamic energy that's going on with that. All that is, it might be chaotic, but it's a lot of energy making things happen. And then there's the, you just have a junky corner, and we're not quite sure why that corner, there's that junky corner, and you're like, why is it that corner? What's going on here? What are you trying not to work on? It's really interesting how it could travel sometimes, or how you just kind of work with the clutter, and it reflects what's going on with you, but it's not your clutter. Like, you know, if your clutter doesn't bother you, but you go to someone's house and you're like, it's always that way. It's the way that that weird stagnant energy annoys you when it's not your little pet stagnant energy.
Right, and it's sure
Absolutely.
that other people see it, right? It's like for you, it's invisible, and you know, it's like it's okay if I leave it like 24 hours there, but you know, your roommate or you know, someone you share the space with, maybe even pets would have their say about it if you were really spending time to communicate with them. But it's
Right.
sure that for you, it's only 24 hours of this clutter being there, but the other person gonna notice.
So exactly. Yeah, it's very
So
interesting how that.
we could go up to analyzing everything, right? If you leave even something there in that part of the house for 24 hours because you maybe feel overwhelmed and you decide that it's okay, even if you share space with others, that okay, you're gonna take care of it as soon as you can, and as soon as you can is in 24 hours, right? So you could go as far, you know, as far as to dissect that. And I'm sure you might do in your personal life, right?
Yeah. Now, the thing I actually do find fun with feng shui is it's like it can go macro and it can do micro. So you can go and like you can feng shui your desk where you have it so that it's all set up to be completely perfect, and then you can do this whole plot of land and like you can kind of use the same principles on it because. Like you were saying, like we're doing a room and it's a deep dive into a room, which is actually a lot of fun. And I do enjoy the challenge that it brings. But it's still, if you do a whole house, we're still going to find key, you're going to find the key mo ones that will really shift. Because usually in a feng shui, consultation, I try not to overwhelm people because you could go on for hours. Well, if you did this, 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 and this, it's like, no, I'm going to give you like the 10 things that are going to be the big needle movers that you will see a shift. And the energy will change and this will flow, and that's what we're going to work on and focus on because that's what's unique. Because when it is flowing, that stuff does kind of disappear in the background. Like you can always tweak and make it better, but there's some big items that will really shift your energy and shift the energy of your home. Like, there's certain things I'm always like, I'll do posts, I'm always talking about, think about your front door, think about how the energy comes there, because that's huge. I mean, that starts the whole party. So think about how energy enters into your home, or think about key rooms like bedrooms, a major room, because obviously you're there for many hours. Your kitchen is a major room because it's all about how you nourish yourself. And then the living room, obviously. And then your bathroom's actually kind of an interesting, not so much I worry about it as the bathroom. If your bathroom is off, like if you have leaks or any sort of problem, it is so reflective of other things that are going on. If you have a leak in your bathroom, you pretty much have a money problem somewhere, somehow in your world, and you have to address it. And it's really like I've seen it constantly proven true. And I'm like, oh goodness. As soon as I see some sort of clogging, I'm like, fix that. We want that flow and we want that. But yeah, it's really interesting. Like you just, oh, these couple things, they really will shift and bring things in. Then maybe you can, then you can get your stuff moving and
So do
flowing.
you have like you know, testimonies from different person you've been working with, and that you know they did a room review with you, and then they had big shift happening in their life?
Yeah, I have a friend, she cracks me up because I was helping her. We did a full house, like a full apartment, but feng shui consult, and she was looking for her partner, and I just love when you get the call later, like, so guess what? I'm engaged. She's exactly what I said I wanted. I did what you said to do, and here we are. We're going to Vegas, getting married next month. I'm like, oh, I didn't know it was that good. Okay, that was a great one to hear back that things moved that well for her. But yeah, I've had some really good feedback that things have worked out. I actually had some people who, as I said, it's a process and the energy flows. So I was doing it at someone else's office and she was talking about she did some of the last minute stuff and put certain plants here. And she's like, I finally did it. I finally did all the stuff on the list. And then she got laid off. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. But now she has the best job ever. And it was just, you know how it's like you kind of obviously I was not happy that she got laid off, and it was a bad situation. It was a really weird, bad situation, things going on. but she landed even better. And it was wonderful when I saw her message, because she sent me a text message like, I don't know what you did, but thank you. Because I had to get rid of that bad job, because now I have, like, she actually got 2 part-time jobs and is happier, working less, and has all the freedom to do what she really wanted to do in these 2 different areas. So it's actually better that it's 2 like part-time jobs that she put together than that one big one that was just, she was unhappy and it was draining her. So it, you know, I've had a lot of people have that things shifted and they didn't like the initial shift, but then it's like, sometimes you gotta, you know, get rid of the bad before the good comes. I had another one where they, it wasn't so much the litter box in the love romance corner, but they had a treadmill in the romance corner, and they kept complaining that the relationship was stagnant. It feels like we're going nowhere. And I'm like, well, you have a machine that just represents that. So nice. And once again, you know, so she got moved the treadmill to a different space, like out of her bedroom and somewhere else, and did all the things, broke up with her boyfriend. So then it was the evil feng shui consultant, because she did broke up, but now she's happily married, found something better. Because obviously this relationship she was in was not going anywhere, and her space was reflecting it back to her. She only knew what it was trying to say.
Interesting.
Some really nice, like, you know, big things like that. And then some other people, just even what you're saying, it's like, this woman, she was so sweet, because she, I did a consult for her, and she, her home, it had some really interesting energetic stuff. Like, this wasn't so much her, it just had this weird current almost that ran through. And we did some stuff to kind of help with that and adjust. And it was, she was happy because she'd been living there for a year, and she was so unhappy with how the energy felt in the place. She was like, I was thinking of moving again. But luckily, after we did some things and got it set, she's like, I finally felt comfortable. It was finally good. And then, like, shortly after, her mother died, and she was just so happy that she at least felt comfortable at home and, like, wasn't dealing with that grief on top of unable to rest and feel comfortable while she was grieving. So yeah, I've had some people who really had some wonderful changes that actually really changed their life. Like, I mean, I have tons of little ones where I got the job after you told me to do this, I got this moving, but some really big shifts happen when you do some stuff in your home, which is wonderful to hear.
Mm-hmm. And as you're mentioning, right, then the treadmill would be like the symbol of the unhappiness in the relationship, right? So it's like, yeah, you're trying to tell yourself something by how you organize the space around you, right? And you emphasize that, right? That or you reflect our sub and our unconscious, and
yes,
you work a lot with the psychology of how we interact with our own spaces, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe rising in awareness also about that. Noticing maybe something, you know, that are in the way for us to maybe, you know, manifest more abundance or money in our life, or maybe mm-hmm. more recognition, right? This is something exactly. that fire creation do struggle with mm-hmm. because of the, you know, the psychological breaking down from the programs. So, you know, it's nice to have a third gaze coming and pointing our attention that maybe this part of the room could be, you know, reviewed. And you even go that far to advise some specific colors, you know. Yes. and definitely some of the elements also that mm-hmm. you advise to us with the expertise and all the knowledge that you kind of combine together.
Yeah, sometimes it's as easy as telling people to walk in their house different. Like, somebody was being triggered because they did all this stuff to make their home safe, and the way they walked through their house, they went through every, like, they went through the smoke alarm, the fire extinguisher, like they went through so many things that they constantly were worried and triggered by it, that they actually had to start walking through their house different so they wouldn't constantly be triggered on high alert worry as they walked in and out of their house. I'm like, you just got to change your entrance. I know you need to have a fire extinguisher, you know, you need to have this stuff, but change your energy, like your way of experiencing your home. Experience it in this way, where you come through the welcoming entrance, where there's not all this worry, chaos, kids' toys. Like, come through here a couple times so you feel at home and relaxed, and then start doing with the other stuff. And it's like, oh, that made a difference. All it was walking. I'm like, yeah, sometimes all it is really experiencing your space different so that you don't feel the nervous triggers that you didn't realize were messing with you.
I love that, right?
Really amazing how much you're like, just as simple as walking through it differently can change your perspective.
And what happens when your clients are not ready to move energy in their life, right? I imagine that you have worked with friends or clients that, you know, you have kept in touch with, and, you know, maybe a few months later, you know, maybe they kind of tell you, maybe themselves, or you know this yourself if you visit their space, their spaces, right? So you know, do you have some examples of that? You know, what does it mean? And
a lot of, as I said before, a lot of times people sometimes aren't ready. And it's like, because you know, reason why I give somebody, like, I usually give you like 10 major things per se, give or take, but it's like, I'll give you two or three different ways of doing it, because not everybody wants to do option A or option B, and whatever reason it may be. But like, sometimes it's like, well, the best thing to do is to change your bedroom. Choose, this is one of the ones that the person was like, no. Like, the best thing is to move your bedroom to the back, because then you'll be in command position of the house, and then put your son in the front, because then he will no longer be the boss of the whole family. Like, no, I like this room better. I'm like, okay. And there's, I have some other ways of doing it. They didn't physically do it. They didn't do the transcendental way where it's kind of like energetically swap it. And they just kept talking about how their son was their little tyrant and running everything. And I'm just like, I know. So when are you going to retire the tyrant and switch it? They're like, is that really what's going on? I'm like, yes, you have given him the power position. So yes, he's in full power. And I'm sure it reflects other things too. Like, I'm sure it's not just the bed. I'm sure it's part of their styles, but it's like, you need to switch the dynamic and like claim that energy. And eventually they did. I think they got scared when he was getting older. Like, we won't be able to hold control anymore. But yeah, I've had some, there's other ones where people were just like, no. And they struggled, and they just kept, you know, somehow kept falling back. And it was, they really just had to do some work, because it's like, they weren't ready. Like, you know, like somebody wants a relationship and then they constantly sabotage. And I'm like, you need to do some, like, yeah, I realize I need to do something, some clearing. Cause I, you know, like, they did visualizations and all this other stuff. It's like, it's freaking me out. I'm like, yeah, you're not ready for it yet, which is okay. So you need to clear so you can have it, because your space and all this other stuff you're trying to do to make it happen, and if you're not ready, it's going to be very torturous, because it's like more than just a trigger. I mean, you know what I mean? You're walking into a gun battle every time you go into your space, because you're not ready for that energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it can take a while, right? And it's good to go back to that folder maybe and reread it from time to time, put it the way I did it or so, because I know, you know, memory is not always the strongest thing, is to put some things in my calendar, right? And maybe also if you need to buy new things, you know, to kind of spread it over the next weeks and months, just it helps to have that reminder, right?
Because you don't, like, not everybody wants to spend $100 on this, or you want the one that you like. Like, I could get a temporary, you know, whatever I'm trying to get in that corner, or like, I can get temporary candles, but if I really want to do something with the big fire thing, I'm going to buy a candelabra that is my style and the color. You know, I totally get, like, you want what you want, and sometimes it takes a while to find what your mind's eye really wants for that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Sometimes it takes a while with all the ideas that are kind of, brainstorm, to put them in manifestation, right? And so it's definitely not as simple as it's look on the paper, right? It's definitely a much deeper process that is going on. And you know, you were mentioning it, but you have to be ready. You have to feel ready. You know, there is a right time. You sometimes you might not be able to force some things. If it's, you know, if you're not ready, as you were saying.
Yeah, definitely. And always do what it feels right, because there's no reason to make yourself panic. But yes, it is interesting how much does reflect back, that really pushing these things is pushing your boundaries, or pushing, you know, pushing you a little bit out of your box, out of your comfort zone, which could be great. And sometimes can be a little traumatic, a little stressful. Maybe you should say a little stressful.
And what about, so why is it important to reclaim command, whether it's with the bed or with the desk? Because it's true that it makes a difference in how, you know,
Oh, yes.
we're so taught to, you know, sit in front of a wall. When, you know, when I was growing up in my rooms or things like that, you know, and it totally changed the experience when you're not sitting in front of that
Exactly.
wall, or, you know, when you have a different view, and you know, you have like is it why it's important? Because you kind of see everything that's around you.
Yes. It's like, well, they always think about, you know, you say command position, but it's that whole, when I was talking about kinesiology and muscle testing, like, you are stronger when you're in that position. So a lot of it is like when you're working or when you're sleeping, like imagine you're sleeping, you're totally not protecting yourself. So it's good to know that whatever position you are when you're working and focused on work and not looking around, that you are as protected as you can be. So that's why it's like, you want to know, like, I got this strong wall behind me. I know what's in front of me, that nothing can surprise me or shock me. And if you do the muscle testing, you can tell you physically feel better. I actually did a class. I remember this class, and this person was arguing with me about, like, no, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I'm like, okay, you don't have to. So she went home, switched where she was sitting. She texted me, like, I was still cleaning up from the class, and she like texted me like, okay, you're right. I do feel so much better sitting in this position, looking out, than I ever did when I was sitting where I was. She thought she had a great position because she can look out the window and everything else. It's like, but no, this is actually better. I'm more productive and I feel better. I'm like, yeah, you actually can feel it. That it is like, oh, I feel a little better. Or I used to love when you think about command position, you go to a restaurant, you can watch all these men purposely sit in like would be the cozy girl position in the booth because they want command position. So they actually make the women sit in the more vulnerable position so they can have command position. It's one of those, like, it's interesting how much on a subconscious level we do know, and we kind of do it and play with it. But yeah, it really does. It's like you feel it physically and you can muscle test it, but it's the whole thing. They have this thing in feng shui, they call it like the armchair position. Like, you want a mountain behind you, you want two small hills on the side to rest your arm, and you want like the water and the view in front of you. And that's where you feel the most supported. That's how your house should be seated. That's how you know, your office, your chair. It's really interesting. A lot about the protection and feeling secure.
And what would be that water element? Would that be kind of the fountain or anything? How can we bring that?
Well, they always say the water because it just brings in the energy, but it's just the fact that you're looking out, that's where the energy is going to flow. So it could be a fountain. It could be just the passage of people as they walk around. It's just, that's where the energy is coming. So it's not going on behind you. It's just going on in front of you.
And what about our front spaces, then the front door? Why is it important to pay attention to that and to make it welcoming, even if sometimes we don't see it that much?
Right. Well, the thing with the front door, it's considered the mouth of chi, or it's where all your energy comes to your home. So you want to make sure that you're encouraging energy to you so that you can process and do what you want. So it's kind of like, if the river doesn't ever come this way, you're not nourishing the plant. So it's really important. It seems very simple the way you can fix it. Like, make it appealing. Like, curb appeal is not just like, it's a term you hear a lot in the States about real estate, making things look cute. It's not just about people like, oh, it looks cute. It actually draws your eye, which means it draws in energy. And that's what you want. So make it look open, make it look inviting, make sure there's nothing that is dangerous or unwelcoming. And it's nice if your path to your front door is more of a meandering path as opposed to a straight, fast path. But it's just the idea that it's open, it's welcoming. Like, there, you know, you can find it. So at least you know where you should be coming in. But the key part about it energetically is it's like, it's how energy comes into your home. So it's really great. Like, actually, when you're talking about water, it's a great place to put a fountain is near your entrance so that you can kind of call in more. It will call in more good energy, good relationships. It just kind of gets that stuff moving. And that's why it's important. Because even if, like, I'm doing a one-room consult, I actually would tell people, we need to bring energy into your house or else what I'm telling you to do is going to be totally useless. So why don't we talk about, just go back for a minute, clear this up, do some things here to help bring the energy to your front door. So then it can come into, you know, your bedroom, your living room, whatever you're working on next really shift it. Yeah, because it is the mouth. It's the mouth of, yeah, it's the mouth of chi where everything comes.
Interesting, yeah. And to make it pretty, I think you share some inspirational photos on Instagram as well.
Yeah.
And I know that you have also some videos on your YouTube channel about fontanes and the subtleties also on where to place them and
Yes.
how the water flows and how you want to make how you want to settle the space kind of in a welcoming way, right?
Yes. Yeah. I know it seems like, and I know it seems like, well, you're just an architect designer. You love talking about making things pretty. It's not just making it pretty. It is about welcoming and bringing in the energy and make sure the other thing is you don't let it run away. You know what I mean? Like make sure you have a welcoming opening entrance, but you don't have like, you can see the back door right away or a big window that leaves out because then the energy just goes right out your house. There's all these little subtle things that we don't think about that actually are really bad or not auspicious. That's the way to say it. I don't want to say bad. It always sounds like I'm being a mean school teacher. But yeah, like you're just not auspicious. So you got to figure out ways to bring it in and keep it in, making it, yeah, inviting and welcoming. And it's really interesting, especially when you like, you do like corporate buildings because there's a lot of things you can put that have pointing at you that is even houses don't seem to have it as bad, at least that I've come to, as bad as I've seen like buildings where you're just like, why can't a tenant ever thrive there? And then you look at stuff that's going on around them, they're like, they have all these pointy poison arrows coming at them. I'm like, no wonder nobody's successful there. Like they're constantly being energetically assaulted in this space that it's hard to thrive. So it's really, it is important to kind of look at how you're situated. Are there things coming at you? Like, how can you kind of keep it clear so opportunity finds you?
And I think when it's difficult to move the space, right, you have the cures, right?
Yes, yes.
Are they when it's really difficult to to change something, maybe the position of a desk, for example, or of a bed, and then you come with the cures?
Yes. Like a lot of times you'll hear like if you can't get command position, there's little tricks you can do to help you. Like there most of the time, this is one thing I really do like about feng shui. Most of the times there is a way to kind of help what you can't physically change it. So there's something we can do to kind of help you fix it. I mean, occasionally you'll hear somebody be like, just move. But that's very rare. Is it like the energy is so bad you really should just rethink this? But a lot of times you can find ways to kind of help adjust it just a little bit. Like there's some cures. There's cures to increase, improve, and then fix the things that aren't working. And sometimes they're the simplest, easiest little things to kind of that make the big shift. But yeah, there's lots of little ways to adjust the energy so it flows better.
Yeah, that's good to know that there are different cures. Now, what happens when we either inherit a space or we inherit, a lot of furnitures or belongings that maybe are not ours? Like, what kind of energy
Oh
does it
yes, you
come
got to
from?
clear that. Because you know, just think about it and just put all your intention, all that stuff that goes with it. It definitely needs to be cleared. I was at this, lovely antique shop. I'm like, all this stuff is wonderful, but imagine all the heaviness you're taking in. So yes, definitely clear everything energetically. That's a big thing. Yeah. As much as I enjoy and appreciate an antique, it comes with all the energy it picked up wherever it was. So definitely do need to clear that.
Plus, maybe sometimes we don't reflect, right? Do I really need this? Like, it stays because it was there, and maybe we haven't even think about, like generating a new budget to create like a different space, right? Maybe more in accordance to a vision, but then we have this and it takes all the space. So, you have to kind of rethink and be, your brain plasticity must be, active to kind of be sharp about what's around you at all times, right?
Yes. Kind of, yeah, you got to think about it. Because, yeah, I love those beautiful, interesting pieces. Because some things you just can't get like that anymore. Or, like the look, the materials, the woods out of it. There's some stuff that is just exquisite. I totally get the love, but yeah. You have to be, you got to think about it, because sometimes it's just not the right energy.
Definitely not. And so you wrote a book
Oh, yes.
about feng shui, right? So I was wondering first, could you let us know about the context in which you wrote the book, and then maybe you can share about, what the book is about.
Oh yeah, so I read this book. It was a 24-hour magic, how to change, move a few things and how you can change your life. And ironically, I wrote it, well, I was writing it during the lovely pandemic of 2020. So it kind of was probably my salvation of getting through that and just focusing on, well, what can I give people? I wanted to give something that was accessible. I didn't want to be worried about like the schools, because I feel like that can sometimes be so confusing, whether you do compass school, or you're doing this school, or you're doing that school. So the thing about this book, I kind of always feel like it's like a great way to get started working on your space, getting to your space started before you might call it a real feng shui expert to kind of help give you a consultation on how to take this to the next level. So this way, at least when the person comes, they're not going to tell you how to clear clutter and everything else. We're going to get to the meat, of what you need to do. And I just heard from this lovely woman who's Canadian. It's my friend's sister, and she was like, had a horrible breakup, and she just ripped open that book and totally shifted her space. Like they just bought a home or something about how they got the home, and she's like, no, it saved me. It's like I'm dealing with this horrible breakup. You know, when those like it sounds like a bad movie breakup where I think you found out via the lawyer, he didn't even tell you. You know, like it was one of those horrible, bad, never got good closure breakups. And so she's like, I just worked on my space, and I just she's like, I got your book and I dove in. She's like, I'm gonna talk to you later about stuff, but it was enough to get her going, where she's like, okay, I'm thinking of it this way. And she's not a person who's into design or that kind of stuff, but she's like, no, I love my house now, it feels like my home, I'm not worrying about him. And it was a real easy way to get herself going. So it has some easy I say easy, but I might maybe it's not so easy, but some great ways to like get you started, like a lot of stuff to help with the idea of clutter, what is clutter, how to clear it, kind of how you can start thinking about it. Do you love it? Do you use it? Like if this is what your criteria is, it makes it much easier to get rid of and keep. And then some stuff to get you going on the next level. So I talk a little bit about nine star key astrology. And so you can kind of know what your element is if you want to start playing with that and adding that into your space. And then I kind of do some fun tips that everybody wants to know of. What are some wealth tips? Like, what are some wealth little, cures or things you can do? What are some romance things? What are some health things? So I always think it's, as I said, it's a great way. It's like a primer, like to get you started, get you going, get you understanding. So if someone comes and says something, you at least know what they're talking about. Like, oh, okay. Oh, okay. Oh, yes, we'll do this. And you can kind of really get yourself going. Like, I mean, the way that she dove in, she took apart her whole house and got it all sorted so it feels good, which is what really makes it great. Like, if your home feels like a home and you can kind of go in there and go, then you've done it. You've done a good job.
Yeah, I read your book, and that could be like a prerequisite before a consultation with you, because you can already change a few things from there then, and definitely picking up different insights there. And then
Get you started. Get you started, which I love about it. And it's a short book, an easy, light read that you can kind of, hammer through, and then kind of adjust your space as you need.
yeah, and it is very, it's also activating, right? I think this is something that is missing sometimes from the scene, or that we find a lot in controlled opposition. They don't have this power to really give you that impulse or that energy to get up from your chair and get going with it. And that's what is missing, and that's what we need, because we need to change our lives from the inside, right? So we need to transform our micro realities, and so that kind of activating power is going to tell you a lot about, what energy are people working and what energy you are actually working with. And if you have this desire, this activation, it's generally a good sign, right? You can feel it in your body. It's a rising energy, right? And you leave apathy, and you suddenly have this energy available to maybe sometimes get on with something that you were thinking about or that you had not the energy to do, or, you know, and now is the time, right? So that's the impulsion that we need.
Is that exactly? Yes. Yeah. It's enough to be like, oh, I could. Oh, you just start getting it gets your mind going, which gets you going. And then you get the things moving, which is great. What everybody needs.
Mm-hmm. And how do you handle, you know, for example, you and me, sometimes, you know, my email or are not ending in the right folder. So how do you work with the interferences that sometimes you have to work with and the obstacle that you encounter?
With the, yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's nice when I work with, you know, especially with like people like you that are very powerful people, because I just start feeling your energy and I'm like, ooh, okay, here's where we're going. And then then you get the fun part where you get the weird blocks or things aren't moving and you're like, okay, I got to remember what's your energy, what's my energy, and then work on getting the grounded and get that. Because yes, it's been very interesting, some things that will pop up, and sometimes it's mine. A lot of times it's the client, you know, it's my client who I'm working with and I'm like, oh, that's yours. Okay, we got to go back and work. Okay, that's you. Okay, we're going to go back and clear that. So I'm still, every time is a new interesting experience trying to work with how to clear it. So I'm always trying to get my tools, trying to get the stuff, and definitely working on the containers, like trying to work on the container so I don't merge too much, so that I don't get lost in what's going on. Because some people, they have so much energy and it's so interesting. And you can just kind of go like, oh, wow, that's all. Okay, let's go back. A lot of trying to get back to the grounding so that I can stay and look. Because a lot of it's like getting out of you and looking. Get out of me, you know, get out of this, and just what is it really saying? So yes, I've been working on that a lot more. And it's been interesting, I guess I should say. The interference has been definitely interesting. And the more I'm learning and studying, as you know, we're doing that, learning and studying, and I start playing with adding frequencies in the spaces, and I'm like, oh, that's what's going on. Okay. So adding some frequencies, especially trying to get more protection, because I do know I've had some interesting things when I start working on stuff, like certain things break, certain things get destroyed. I'm like, okay, that, all right. That was, well, that's part of the theme. Okay. So just kind of, there's a lot going on. A lot. It seems, I love feng shui because it does seem so simple, but I never would have thought there was so many layers to it and how much can be going on. So like when I'm diving into the space, how much you connect, or as I said, like I'm wearing a necklace and that breaks and it's like, okay, that energy went out. Okay. Oh, that's going. So it is a constant little struggle or battle, but I'm getting better at dealing with some of it, but it never stops. Just like, you know, as I'm going through my thing, trying to find the home that's right for me. And it's just, it's interesting because I'm very much like, is this my home? No, it's not my home. Is this my home? Nope, it's not my home. And how much that, you know, I'm all about your space. And I'm like, I'm constantly in this weird nomad energy. And I'm like, this is definitely a new thing. Like I'm kind of not working on certain projects right now because I don't want my chaotic, I'm not quite in my own space to affect others' projects. So I'm like, give me a couple of weeks when I'm in my real space. I can dive back in because I don't want you having my chaos, because I am, you know, thankfully in a nice, comfortable spot, but it's not mine. So yeah, it's been, you know, it's like you constantly are learning, even if you don't want to learn, you're constantly learning something new about the disturbances, or just how, oh, okay, that wasn't what we're supposed to be doing now. Oh, this is your energy. You are fighting me. Okay. I have to take a step back and figure out. Because I've had some interesting stuff where it's been, I didn't realize we were fighting. Like the person wants it, but they don't want it. I didn't realize how their energy was coming at me with that kind of fighting me on it. And I'm like, okay, you're going to have to do some clearing first, because this is some weird stuff that's blocking me. So yeah, they didn't teach me that at first in feng shui when I was studying how much of that little like subtle stuff, the subtle energies, like, you know, you drag your feet and you're like, I'll give people the grace and space to drag their feet, because we all have reasons why, and just what's going on. Are you dragging your feet because it's not the right time? Are you dragging your feet because you're being blocked? Because if you're being blocked, well, then let me come in and help pull you through this. If you were dragging your feet because it's not the right time, and reading that part of the energy, because I never want to, you know, you never want to push people when they don't need it.
Of course, but you know, yeah, sometimes you have weird energies as well, where people are not aware that they are self-sabotaging, or that they are resisting, or that they are not there for the right reasons. So it's definitely an art to juggle and handle all of that. And also, as you were mentioning, know what's yours, know what's theirs.
Yes.
And seeing clearly through all of that is definitely not taught. And you know, we have to learn at the, you know, at the play school of the game here, to remember a little bit more about all of that.
Yes. Definitely not taught that, those subtle things, but yeah, they change so much.
And I think it's also because it's you as you know, a fire creation being who is working with feng shui, plus all that you put into it with, as you were mentioning, also your abilities, right? And maybe we can talk a little bit about that, but it's because it's all of that, I think, that it has this power. And I don't think you would get these results, you know, if you work with a non-spirited feng shui specialist, right? It really depends who you're working with. And it's really nice, you know, that you are working in that field to help us with our houses, right? Because it's really something else to have to do it yourself and not have anyone to really bounce idea with, or really have this person really expert at what they do. And it's really beneficial, you know, to have that.
No, it's interesting. Yeah, it's been very interesting. And the more I learn, the more I study, I can see that my readings and intuition on how to get people's faces just keeps getting better. Like there's, you know, different things, or like, oh, this crystal, that crystal. Like I just love, like, everything I learn, I can actually pour back in to give somebody a better experience. So it's like, you know, intuitive, what I learned here, what I put there. Because a lot of times, like, I'm just amazed. Like I had one consult where I was just amazed at the space, and I'm like, oh, do you know what's going on here? We can like just take this to it. It's really exciting. Like I always say, I love doing this stuff. It like, it feeds my soul just to get in there and dive in these spaces and that energy and get things moving. It really is a wonderful opportunity and experience just to tap into that type of energy.
So, yeah, that's actually, you know, that's a great avenue to tackle deep stuff, actually, you know, and a lot of hidden and invisible layers as well, right? And to work with actually quite deep process with people.
Yes.
Now you were talking a little bit about your abilities. I know that you can merge sometimes with different things. So how is it for you? I also remember we talked about that, but sometimes you can get clear olfactive insights about a space or other kind of clear insights as well.
Yes. Like I sometimes can smell things that are very interesting that don't make any sense, like random barbecue sauce. Okay, this mean to you. I've had some where while I was working on the space, I kept getting a migraine, and then we stopped, we did something else, it's gone. I go back in the space and I get a migraine. I'm like, whose migraine am I picking up on? This is okay, we gotta do something else to clear that out, because that wasn't mine, because only when I'm in the space working does it come. There's something else going on. So it's there's been some interesting wherever way I'm connecting to it, and of using the other abilities, because I do have the scent. Yes, I do have a thing with colors that is totally, I don't even know how to explain it, but it's a fun game I can play with colors. It kind of speak to me in a different level, which is probably why I have so much fun playing with the elements and adding colors and the materials, because it's just fun. I just love the idea of like diving into the color, and that's what I start feeling, and then we're like, let's go with that. I see this is what you need. So it is my own little way of playing and my own tapping into the energies and what my gifts are. So it does kind of add an interesting, the more I trust my intuition on it, the better they've become, each one. Because there's a list of traditional cures or traditional things. And then sometimes you're like, no, I'm getting a better one for you. This one is you, yes, we're going to go with that. So it's been fun kind of trusting my intuition and taking it to the next level of whatever comes in or how it comes in. Because it's not always the same, but definitely a feeling or seeing or knowing it, like, this is what will change it. Do these things right here.
I love
These will make it shift. I can feel if you go there, the shift will shift.
I love that. And also the trusting in your own insights and intuition, I think is an important journey for us all, right? And trusting,
yes.
giving it more credit and not pushing it away. And then, you know, witnessing the fruits that come from that is also really nice. And the quicker we are to trust at it, you know, the quicker everything shifts as well.
I agree 100%. Yes. It does take things to the next level.
Now, I know you're working hard, you know, to anchor more of your spirit every day, right? So what is it like for you currently? You know, is there anything you'd like to share about that journey of, you know, deprogramming and anchoring more of who you are and all that you are?
Yeah, yes. This, we're talking about the year of chaos. This year has been very, very interesting with the whole relocating and coming back to Italy. Especially when I thought the chapter was over. So I actually feel like I'm being forced to learn a lot and trust a lot that this was for me. Because added to it, when I first came back, it wasn't a smooth transition. So it's kind of like oh. So then I had I had to get out of my own head that I started panicking. Because, you know, as soon as you're like, well, did I make the wrong move? Because I know everything is not always smooth, but like this much opposition, is this, are you testing me to see, you know, like, am I being tested to see or to make sure or to knock me off or are we on the right way? So it's been a little bit, it's been a lot of that in the last few weeks, especially working on that and trusting all the different, you know, because it's like, for me, not being in a space that feels as rooted as anchoring has definitely been an interesting study for me. Of having to work on the other ways of getting myself planted and trusting and being like, okay, is this really what I'm supposed to do? Am I actually supposed to go back and change my, okay. So I've been doing a lot of that of late. It's been very almost 3D level. You know, it's like, I felt like before it was very much, you know, a spiritual, I don't know, spiritual way of doing it. Some seemed very out there, etheric, and now like, I'm sitting here trying to figure out, is this where we go? Is this really what you want to do? And trusting, no, we're going to make these changes. So I feel like dealing with the deprogramming and then getting out of my own way and I have some things that are on my new, like, you have to always speak your truth. We really need to work on speaking your truth and getting out of the deprogramming. Because a lot of it is just accepting and being able to say some things has been an interesting experience in the last few months. So I've been working on that on my deprogram. I know it's almost like I went very 3D in what seems to be right now I need to work on, but I guess that's what is being called, you know.
Well, I think that's what also our spaces are, right? You meet these walls and they kind of bring you that safety through their 3D apparent location around you, right? But it's that can make you feel the way you feel sometimes, that can provide and from which you can function as well, right?
Right.
When you have that stability and because you've been transitioning also, you need that stability back before you can kind of process everything else. And the more you have this in your own worlds, the quicker you can be in your reality, and we all have to deal with very 3D aspect every day. That's how we can make the other aspect happen, actually, by also taking care of a lot of 3D aspects. And if we overlook them, then it's like sometimes we can never address the higher aspect, because there is a kind of order in the way we navigate the inverted reality here, and it does come with mastering some level of the 3D. And it is like a proof that you're also kind of like progressing in all the other layers, you know, that you're working on constantly.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Yes, it is kind of like the confirmation that you're getting there, because you actually did this. You actually got through the weird sticky wicky. So seeing it come up and like, oh goodness, we're gonna go through that right now. Okay, lesson learned. That's been very interesting right now, definitely. Definitely, which helps because then it's like I could just totally tell how it's changing my perspective. So I do feel, even in the if I feel this good in the little wiki, place, I'm gonna feel much better when I have the solid place, which I'm just looking forward to that part.
I traveled, so I know how it can be time consuming sometimes, and sometimes it clearly made me appreciate more to have my own space set up, to have traveled that much and to have been with a bag and to have had to set up my space over and over again and maybe not for long. And it's definitely it's a completely different process, right? The more nomadic process and moving also is bringing up different things in our reality that we're maybe not facing when we are comfortable sometimes in our own homes.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very, very interesting how much it shifts. It's like, well, I had to reduce the clutter. I'm in two suitcases, but there's whole other new things to play with. So yeah, it is interesting how much it changes.
You go really minimalist with some of your belongings. You even forget about your favorite furnitures that you thought you would be missing, but you get used to your own new surroundings. So, and you have often your favorite tools and objects with you that kind of also support you and that are really, really nice. So I would like to maybe open the space for you to maybe share a tip or an advice or anything that could maybe support anyone who is listening to us, either in a well in a field of prosperity or how to appease relationship or what could we work on in our space or maybe even with Crystal, whatever, maybe a few different tips. So if several else are coming to mind, but something that we could apply that we could be supporting us, maybe also as we go to the colder season, anything like this.
Oh yes, yeah, no, yes, there's so many things. It's like ooh. But yeah, wealth, I've always talked about wealth and abundance. Those are the things that people always are asking about. Always, nobody ever says I don't have I don't, I have too much, like wealth and abundance, please stop, I don't want more. So some of the ones that are just really simple, as I said, the first thing, make sure you have no water problems. Like that is it's like it's more like this way you don't lose what you've got. So make sure there's no water problems. Like don't ignore leaks because they really are reflective, as I was saying before. Like it does, if you have a leak somewhere, you have a leak in your finances. Somewhere, somehow, money's going away. And then on top of that, like one of the fun things you can do to help increase abundance is, as I said before, fountains are great. I don't recommend fountains in your bedroom because you don't want water energy so much in your bedroom. But like a fountain by your front door, a fountain in your office, those are great places to add a fountain to help bring in the energy. Another thing with wealth and abundance, it actually one of the big places you look at is your front door. Make sure that looks good. And then how your kitchen's doing. It's actually interesting. Like cleaning your kitchen refrigerator actually deals with your health and your wealth. It's really interesting how much is in your kitchen. And you can imagine you're cooking stuff up. So it is kind of the energy of making things and getting things moving. So the kitchen actually is more fire. So I'm not saying add like any more water to it because it's about the fire, but clearing it and purging it. And the other thing is use all your burners. Some people get in this habit of only using like two burners because those are your two favorite or however you cook. Rotate them. Try to use all. Four, five, six, however many you have, try to use them all. You don't have to do it every day, but just try to get that little rotation because that's like you're actually sparking fire. And so use all the places you can spark fire. It's actually a good way to get things moving. And then let me see some other fun, easy tips. Actually, with this type of season, if you're at least in the northern hemisphere, it's starting to get cold. When we're seeing that the sun is it's getting sun's going down earlier, the days are getting shorter. It actually is a good time to start adding more fire in your space. So like take advantage of it because Not everybody likes to add the color red, which is also fire. So if you can do it with your lighting and start being kind of conscious about it and putting it in certain areas, especially in areas that you might not spend time in, so then you're adding some energy to it. So like if there's a room you're not in a lot, why don't you add a candle or a light and just light it for a little bit? Like even if it's just a half an hour to kind of bring some fire energy into that space so that all areas of your life and aspects of your life are getting fueled, fired, and getting some movement. Let me see some other ones that I would think of, or just kind of simple, easy ones. I had one that just disappeared. Oh, another one that's kind of kitchen-ish is you use a bowl of fruit. So a bowl of fruit in your kitchen's good. Also, if you use a bowl of oranges, oranges are really good. Citrus fruits in general are really good for clarifying and purifying energy. So if you have a bowl of fruit, especially oranges, mandarins, and it's almost that season, at least in the northern hemisphere, it's really good to have that there because not only bowl of fruit, it encourages abundance, plus you're doing some sort of energy protection. And if you leave an orange somewhere and just let it kind of dry out, it will pick up stuff. So it's almost like if you know you leave one there and then you have to dispose of it, don't, you know, eat it or anything because it's picking up for you. So that's actually a nice, you know, one. It doesn't, you can do an orange anywhere with that, but it's like if you already have it in the kitchen, it kind of disappears. Nobody notices if there's one that's actually being used to change the energy. Those are some simple ones that I could just kind of think of off my top of my head that will actually kind of get things moving. Like, you know, and it's interesting what little things do, like adding copper to your kitchen. Copper is a great metal for many different reasons, and also is a great metal for encouraging wealth and abundance. So if you can have copper in your kitchen, even just something small, it's good.
Yeah, I love copper. That these are wonderful tips. Thank you. And I love the orange as well. And it's great that it's the season. And it's true that these are powerful fruits and they can be very helpful in our lives. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, orange is so good for so many things. And then you just, now you find other ways it is.
Thank you so much for these tips. And you have a website called energeticsspace.com. And we also can find your book on different platform, right?
Yes, it's on Amazon.
It's on.
And I believe it's on any Amazon. So if you go on Amazon.com, .it, .uk, co, whatever, yeah, it's on, you pretty much can get it anywhere.
And the title is 24 Hour Magic, How Changing the Energy in Your Space Can Change Your Life. And then you also have an Instagram account, right? Energetic
Yes.
Spaces, and a YouTube channel that you started and where you share videos that are also quite activating. I remember, I think you were doing a series on fountains and you make them short and very packed with information. Really, they are great videos.
Oh, thank you. Now, I'm trying to learn from you because you are quite the expert. But yeah, I just wanted to get something so people can get started. So you kind of, enough to get you into trouble and get yourself going.
And actually, it's not that easy. And because I know that I've taken note from some of your video, I have a note in my calendar, but I still haven't worked on it, right? See how you really need that extra energy to be able to be clear and have the space for the things that appear simple, right? It's probably not that long time to look at it and to choose, but somehow it takes weeks and months, and that's also why it's nice to have an expert. I think it definitely speeding up the process, right? And helping you see things that you were not seeing and things that you were used to, and bring fresh new energy into your living spaces.
Yes, yeah.
So thank you so much for everything that you have shared. Maybe how can we contact you is a great way to end our conversation with.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. This has been such a wonderful opportunity. But yeah, I'm at energeticspaces.com, and you can always email me at info@energeticspaces.com or Kendra@energeticspaces.com. And, you know, always send me a message. You can send a message to DM me on Instagram or Facebook. But yeah, I'm always accessible. But yes, I really love this opportunity to talk about it because you can tell this is one of my passions. This is, it brings me joy, and I know how much it can help everybody because we all are in some sort of space. So it's really something that anybody and everybody needs, uses, and I just feel it's such an opportunity to make big changes in our lives.
Thank you. And I've been enjoying everything that you've shared about, you know, our living spaces. I've learned from you. I changed things in my life directly from, you know, our conversations or things that you have shared on social media or that I've seen you shared in your video. And I see the power of that. I do celebrate it. I'm thanking you for coming here to talk about it. And I'm looking forward also to do it again in the future as it evolves.